for the timestamp, this will be the lunch meeting ATRT2 scheduled from 12 to 1 p.m.
Mic check, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check. Testing, 1, 2, 1. Two, testing, 1, 2.
If I could encourage everyone to, once, as soon as you've got your food, to return to your seats so that we can begin the session as soon as possible. We've got a very limited time available to us, so that would be great.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, I'm just going to give you a time check. I think we should commence the session as soon as possible. If you could return to your seats or prepare yourself to participate. This session is open to everyone to participate who's in the room and who has something valuable to add. So we welcome our ATRT colleagues to this GNSO working session on Sunday here in Durban, and I think we'll kick, just give us one more minute, and I think we'll kick off ASAP. Great, let's get things going now. Thanks. Can we start the recording, please? We're good to go. All right, welcome everyone. Welcome councillors, welcome GNSO participants, welcome ATRT colleagues. This is an opportunity for interaction between the ATRT and the GNSO. We have a series of questions that have been posed. We have the various members and of the ATRT here. So let me hand over to Brian Cute, who will prepare for us a couple of introductory remarks.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. My name is Brian Cute. I'm the chair of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team 2 at ICANN. We very much welcome this interaction with you. I recognize that time is short and we want to make the most of it. With that, we have a number of the members of the ATRT to here present. We're here to engage and hopefully have as much of a good dialogue we can in the next 50 minutes or so. That being said, and hopefully to be brief, some opening statements. We do understand that with respect to these questions and the dialogue today that we're not hearing from the council formally. We understand that we are hearing from GNSO counselors effectively with their individual views and not necessarily reflecting the views of the the stakeholder groups they may represent, and that we may hear from others in the room as well, and we welcome all of that input. What's important at this stage of the game for us is that we're still in the data gathering part of our process. From a timeline perspective, we will begin drafting in earnest proposed recommendations at the end of August. We will be putting out for comment from public comment and comment from ACs and SOs proposed final recommendations in mid-October. So we're still in the, and we have to provide our report by December 31st to the board. We're still in the data gathering phase. We recognize that with respect to the questions we've presented to the council, that the council has not had time to put together a GNSO council view, but there should still be sufficient time for the council, if it wishes, to do so and present that to the ATRT2, and we would welcome that when the council can do that, if it decides to do so. The questions we sent to you, they're really two different groups of questions here, not identified as such, but just so you're aware, we formulated six questions that, up to this point in time, based on our review, assessment, and inputs from the community, six questions that are beginning to become top-of-mind questions for the ATRT2. The balance of the questions are questions emanating from our review of comments received, and we received 30 comments in the public comment process to date. Those are taken from comments, reflect our consideration of specific comments, and represent in some ways follow-up questions. We welcome any input you have to offer today. The other thing I would note is you may be aware that ATRT2 is in the process of engaging an independent expert to provide an assessment or analysis on the PDP process, the GNSO PDP process. So with that opening, if you need me to frame anything else, Jonathan, in terms of the interaction, please add on to that. But at this point, I'll be quiet, and we're interested to hear your views.
Thanks, Brian. Just to double-check that, so that the first six were the, is in order. Those first six were the ones that you had.
Sorry, I'm looking to Alice. We had six that we sent in advance of the meeting about a week ago, and then an additional eight that we added to that. Are the first six, as enumerated, Alice, the original six?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, okay. They are.
All right. So thank you for your understanding of our processes and structures. I think we should feel free, therefore, to talk and respond to these. One of the things that we are actively doing as a council is concentrating on a program of continuous improvement, and that includes our own attention to the PDP process and so on. And I guess, in my view, in an ideal world, and I recognize it won't pan out exactly like this, but ideally our own self-improvement and work on iterative improvements of processes like the PDP process would dovetail with your recommendations. Now, I recognize, as I say, that ideally that may not happen exactly, but I do want you to be aware of the fact that we are cognizant of the ongoing need to improve in all areas of our work. So that's something which is active. Your first question deals with that. I wonder how would you like to lead this? Would you like to frame the question and then we can respond? Because the question are certainly the PDP one is something that is of interest and we can respond to that. So I see it in some indications. Jeff, would you like to kick off?
Sure. So this is, again, just kind of, as you said, we haven't had a chance as a council. So my name is Jeff Newman. I'm with the Registry Stakeholder Group. Some of these things we've actually talked about as a stakeholder group in other contexts. So one of the things I'd like to just point out, like in the first question, is, and this is something that we need to work on as a GNSO community, is that there is a perception that the only way that the GNSO can act is through a formal policy development process, or what we all think as the capital PDP, which is in the question. One of the comments I'd like to make is that really, I think the question should be whether the GNSO policy processes as a whole is effective for developing GTLD policy. There's, as you may know, there was a reconsideration decision that came out fairly recently that the rationale was changed, but in the first version it basically said the only way the GNSO can act is through a PDP, and if they don't act through a PDP, we don't really have to consult with them. We're trying to change things and improve that communication. But my first comment would be, I think the important question is to ask whether the policy processes in general work. My second comment is that oftentimes the PDP, it's like the scapegoat. It's the easy thing to blame. That you oftentimes hear everywhere in the community, whether it's in GAC sessions, whether it's in some other GNSO sessions or the CCNSO or others, you always hear that the PDP is broken. And I actually am of the opinion that the mechanics of the PDP are not broken at all. Just for some background, too, I was the PDP chair of that working group that came up with the revised version. I want to be clear on that in case, you know. But the group really worked hard at coming up with the mechanics of that. And I think the mechanics are actually the right mechanics, and they're there. And I understand you had a presentation from Marika yesterday on that and showing you the mechanics. One of the things that we see and we've talked about in the registry stakeholder group is that it's not the process that's broken, but oftentimes we have a process that, or we have people or groups that enter the process with different incentives. And in order to come to a consensus, there needs to be an incentive or a willingness to actually come to a consensus. I don't know how you fix that problem, but it's oftentimes when we get deadlocked, it's not necessarily that the PDP process is broken. In fact, some cases a deadlock may be the appropriate result of a PDP. But in other cases, it may be that there may not be that incentive for certain groups to come to a consensus or a willingness or even authority for those groups or the people in those groups to actually sit down at a table and come to a conclusion or a solution that's somewhere in the middle. So, and the last point I want to talk about is we're actually talking about a lot of these issues too. It's great. We actually like the fact that the ATRT is looking at these issues with the PDP. But we're also looking at those as well. And we have sessions with the GAC, ironically, on some of this later on the PDP process. So I think these are the right questions. I'm actually glad you're looking at it. But again, I think we should look at the policy processes in general. In the bylaws, it states that the GNSO is the policy body. I should quote it better. I should have had it in front of me. But it's basically is the body that's responsible for developing and recommending policies around GTL, about generic top-level domains. And for us, that's not just acting through a formal PDP, but acting through other mechanisms. And I think what we need to do better in the next months, in the coming months or years, is to define the other processes by which we can act either on a much quicker basis or more timely basis, ones that don't necessarily have the standing of a formal PDP outcome, but ones in which we can get in a timely manner responses to the board or other groups that ask us questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Jeff. Appreciated. Alan Greenberg, Vice Chair of ATRT2, I think had a follow-up question.
Not so much a question, but a reply, and I'm speaking not as the ALAC liaison to the GNSO here. The AOC charged the ATRT with assessing the policy development process, lowercase as it turns out, to facilitate enhanced cross-community deliberations and effective and timely policy development, which is what we're trying to do in this process. The term broken is used very often. We haven't used it. But the question is, can we attract the right people and can we make them interact so we get good policy coming out of it? It's not really so much a process question, but how do we make it work properly? And that's the real focus. Can we identify any particular issues that might be fixable? So it's very much in concert with what you were saying, Jeff. And I suspect we might have evaluated other processes if they were indeed defined right now, but they're not.
Thank you. And just to underscore that, we approach this task with no assumptions. We're forming questions. We're getting inputs. We're chartering an independent expert. We'll give them a scope of work, but there's no conclusions or even preliminary conclusions at this point. And Marika's presentation was very much welcome yesterday. Just one note. I know the PDP will be of distinct interest, and that's great. In terms of the questions, we are open to any inputs on any issue. You should have a hard copy of the questions we provided, and there's more than just five that are up on the screen. So, again, open invitation for any comment. Chuck?
Thanks, Brian, and thanks to each of you on the committee that I know are spending a huge amount of time. I'd just like to encourage your group to keep one thing in mind as you're looking at the PDP and as that relates to the GNSO. The reason it takes so long, the reason people get frustrated is because it's multi-stakeholder and it's bottom-up. All of us in this community give a lot of lip service to the multi-stakeholder model and how critical it is. But the bottom line, when it comes down to implementing it and doing it, we don't like it because it takes time in such a global, diverse environment. So I would just encourage you and the expert that you hire to look at this, to keep that in mind, that the problem with the PDP is that it's multi-stakeholder and bottom-up.
Thanks, Chuck. I've got Yoav and Mikey, unless there are responses directly to Chuck. But I think I've got Yoav, Mikey, and I'm going to put myself in the queue after that.
Yeah. So first of all, my name is Yoav Karen. I'm from the registrar's stakeholder group, and I'm totally speaking in my own capacity. So first of all, I totally agree with what Jeff said, and I do think that the PDP as in general is not a bad process. I think the way it's implemented many times is bad. I think one of the main reasons that we've seen over the years, and I've been involved in PDPs I think in the past 10 years or something like that, is that it takes too long. Now, in a business environment, I've seen this happening. there are issues that we're talking about in different PDPs that if it was in a business environment, decisions would have been taken much faster. Even getting all the replies from all the stakeholders, it can be done faster. I think that's the main problem. The ways to resolve that, it's in the process. I'm sorry, Chuck, I don't agree that the fact that it's a stakeholder, it's a multi-stakeholder process means it's going to take long. I think it can be shorter. That's one of the things that I view. And the other thing is, which is much more problematic from my point of view, is the fact that I've seen working groups being manipulated by chairs or by ICANN staff members that did not like the comments made by different people that were in the working group. I've seen groups being ignored several times in working groups, reports being manipulated and submitted showing a consensus where there was no consensus, and public comments just being, again, ignored totally, several times repeatedly. Not only ignored, there was not even a reply why they were ignored. And I think that's a big problem. Now, I'm not saying that it happens always. I'm not saying it. I'm not specifying currently latest PDPs, but I have seen it. And this is something that, so one of the things that I've seen is that if a chair wants the report to go in one direction, they have the power to do that because they write up the paper at the end. And you can have members of the working groups saying a whole very different things, and they're just, you know, not taken into consideration. So I think this is resolvable, and there should be some type of way to monitor that. Thanks.
Thanks. You have, I think, Brian would like to follow up directly to that.
Yes, thank you very much for the inputs, Yoab. With all the inputs that we received, it is in our charter that we provide a report and recommendations to the board that is fact-based. That's critical to the quality of our output. So I welcome your inputs and would ask anybody in the room, including yourself, if you have specific documents or facts that you can point us to that substantiate the points you're making, those are not just welcome but necessary to our work.
Thanks, Brian. Mikey. I'll put you in then after me.
This is Mikey O'Connor from the ISP constituency. And I assume, are we doing the questions like one at a time, or is this like scattershot? How are we going
to? Mikey, we don't have time to systematically work through these.
Yeah,
great,
okay,
if
so
we
let
did,
me
but
just,
I think if,
let me
know,
just fire
clear
in
that
a
PDP
bunch.
Is a particularly interesting topic to this group, understandably, but Brian did make the point that any areas are up for grabs here,
okay.
So I think we have to do it in that way.
All right. I just wanted to understand the ground rules. On the first and second question, I think that I spend a lot of time in the PEP, and one of the nice things is that there is so much going on above me that is relevant to what I do that most of the time I don't pay attention to it. You know, new administrations come, they go, new tools come, they go. And fortunately, from my point of view, much of the process at that layer does not disrupt the PDP. The current process that's going on is getting ready to be quite disruptive, I think. And I'll give just one example, and that is that we have a whole initiative now drawn together in something called the ICANN Labs that just got announced yesterday, I think, that is trying to essentially provide a whole new set of tools to the policymaking process. And there has been almost no connection between the work that's being done on those tools and the people who are doing the work. So in a kind of classic systems design standpoint, the requirements aren't being defined by the users of the system. They're being defined by others. So that's one topic. Second topic, the financial budgeting process here is broken. This has been a disaster. And I don't know where in this list that fits, but I want to get it on the record that we've got a really serious problem in the budget process. And the example that I'll give there is that the stakeholder group that I'm in, the commercial stakeholder group, is basically paralyzed because right now we have no budgets. We don't know whether we have anything to do over the next year because the budget process is so late. So there's a whole big paragraph that could go behind that. Not to be a total grouch, third topic and then I'll be done. There's this giant outreach initiative that's soaking up tons of budget. Budget process aside, there's a huge opportunity to solve several problems at once. But if we're not careful, we're going to create more problems than we solve. Sally Costerson said on a call, an outreach call several weeks ago, that her goal is 10,000 new participants within, and I forget the time frame, maybe 2 years. But 10,000 is accurate, fact-based. Time frame, I can't remember. That's a huge number of people for the organization to absorb. And we don't have a carefully crafted series of incremental steps to take those newcomers through an orderly process that makes them effective contributors and participants in the process. There's a giant valley in the middle. We have a whole bunch of new people who are really interested in participating. We have a very small, overloaded group of participants who are looking for new blood, and we don't have the bridge between those two problems yet. So that's a whole another paragraph, and that I'll wrap up there.
Thank you, Mikey, and to your point about where is the budget issue in this list, we're open to hear anything that's top of mind for you. We don't want you to feel constrained by this list of questions either. So thank you for that input.
No, Jeff is in the queue. I'm not sure who else is. I've got a brief follow-up comment for Mikey. Did you hear in Fuddy's operational presentation this morning, he talked about bridging that gap a little? I mean, I'm not sure you got the full answer, but I just wonder if you heard what I heard, that he mentioned bridging that gap a little. I don't want to sort of go down a rat hole on this one, but that's just a sort of yes-no almost.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Mikey O'Connor again. Fadi's presentation this morning was so filled with contradictions that after a while I couldn't follow the circles he was walking in. We danced around so many issues so fast. So let me bring up a fourth broad topic in response to your question, which is that our senior staff right now seems very disconnected from the core of what we do here. And I'll give another little fact-based example. That ICANN Labs thing that was rolled out yesterday, they had a Twitter handle, they had a LinkedIn group, so we're all about social media. They didn't register the domain names ICANNlabs.com.org. So you go talk to these folks and say, why not? We are a domain name focused organization. We live and die by domain names around here. At a minimum, you should know enough about domain names to know that you ought to register the name of a big program. So I registered them so that somebody else didn't. But, you know, right now it's actually quite comfortable at the PDP layer because, fortunately, it's quite removed from the antics at the top of this organization. So although he touched on that, he touched on so many other things in such a disorganized and scattershot way that I don't know whether it was real.
Let me just check if I've got anyone else I should have in the queue. I had myself in the queue. I've got Jeff. I've got Steve Del Bianco. Am I missing anyone?
Becky.
Can you read them out for me?
I got you, Becky.
Becky. Did I see some? Is that Chris?
Olivia.
Chris. Olivia wants to make a brief response to Mikey.
Thank you. It's Olivia Crepin-Leblanc for the transcript. Mikey, would you be ready to sell ICANNlabs.com and .org to ICANN?
Right, I've got Jeff coming up. I just wanted to make a brief remark, and in some ways I think I can make this on behalf of the council, because as a council we are and have been recently at least aware of the GACS concern about their interaction with the PDP process, and we have an active engagement process with the GAC on working to develop mechanisms by which they can become there are no resolutions yet, but there is an active program in conjunction with the board PGRI, the board GAC recommendation implementation working group. In conjunction with the BGRI, we're working very closely in trying to, and we're going to discuss that further with them today. So there is active work going on. Because the reason I make that point is, one, because it is something the council is actually doing, and two, because I understand that GAC concerns over their engagement with the PDP process might be some of the background to these points one and two. So we need to just be careful that we work in synthesis here, and that we're, when and if there is active work going on. Jeff, you're next in the queue.
Thanks. And I'm going to switch gears a little bit to the question 14 here on the reconsideration process. And actually, I know Becky wants to dovetail on that. I know she's in the queue, but she actually has some comments on the independent review process, which I think all relates ultimately to accountability measures. And so When the reconsideration decision, one of the recent reconsideration decisions came out, it prompted a little bit of discussion that you may have heard about on the initial rationale by the Board Governance Committee of what they believe the role of the GNSO was in relation to the role of the Board and the Board Governance Committee. I'm not going to address that right now, but one of the things that it caused me to do personally was to go back and look at the history of reconsideration requests. And I went back 10 years, and there were about approximately 15 decisions, maybe 16 or somewhere around there, but it was about 15 decisions in 10 years, and every single one of them was rejected. There wasn't one that was granted. There was one that was rejected, but they ended up kind of making the change that was asked for in the reconsideration request, but it specifically says this reconsideration request is rejected or is denied. But then they ended up making the change anyway. I still consider that as a denied request. And what it shows essentially is that, I mean, one could say that every single reconsideration request was ridiculous and should have been rejected. But if you read the reconsideration requests themselves, they're mostly very well written. There's definitely good arguments. And to come out of that, one could only assume that there's something that needs to be reviewed about the reconsideration process. If every single one of them is denied, then there's got to be something that either the community perception of what the process is may not be right, or that there may be something that needs to be done with reconsideration. The other question that comes out of it is there's really still no accountability measure if I can't just plainly get something wrong. Right now, there's a reconsideration process that looks at, did ICANN follow the process? And if they follow the process, it doesn't really matter what the outcome was, right? That it's okay, because they could deny the reconsideration request and then they move on. But my question is, and has been for a long time, what if they're just wrong? What if we find out as a community, you were wrong, you decided the wrong way? Who does the community go to? How do they get that addressed? There's no court, there's no government, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And so from that perspective, we need to give some thought of what do we do if they just plainly get it wrong? They follow the process to the T, but the outcome was just the wrong outcome. And so I know that Becky's later in the queue, but she's talking about the independent review, and so I will defer to her when to go over those.
Thanks, Jeff. Point well made. Steve Del Bianco.
Thank you. Steve Del Bianco with NetChoice, also a member of the BC. A lot of the questions here are focused on the how-to of accountability, and none of the questions ask to whom ICANN's accountable, because everyone just takes that for granted. But this morning, in interaction with the CEO, the to whom question was thrown into one of these circular logic concerns that Mikey identified. The CEO talked about his evolving thinking about contract parties being treated as licensees with whom the key relationship is the contract and then a relationship that makes compliance work. And then Fadi said that registrants then become the customers to whom you're accountable. At that point, both Wolfgang and I both chimed in to say, no, wait a minute, what about end users, whether they're non-commercial or commercial end users doing emails, doing apps, bring up websites. They are users and customers of ICANN's resolution services. And when we pressed on that, Fadi didn't, I mean, he appreciated the point, but it was a little bit circular, too, about whether he would embrace that or not. You're in a perfect position to sort of reestablish in this second review that not just the how to be accountable, but the to whom we are accountable, and be able to delineate between contract parties for whom you don't have accountability, you have a contractual relationship, and end users and registrants, which are really the only two bodies to whom you're accountable. I know governments and all of us stakeholder groups claim that we represent certain sub-segments of those groups, but it's all registrants and it's all users. So this is a perfect time that if your group were able to solidify that, it might guide the CEO in his sort of rethinking of this whole relationship status. Thank you.
We'll move on to Becky, who's next in the queue.
Thank you. I have a very very specific and very concrete example of a problem that flows directly from implementation of the ATRT1 recommendations, and I urge careful attention to this. ATRT1 recommended that ICANN, called on ICANN to establish an experts working group to review the independent review processes. It did nothing on that until the dead of August of 2012, in which it called for experts, issued a request for interest, expressions of interest. ICANN appointed three highly qualified individuals and gave them precisely 5 weeks to review all of the ICANN processes, which included the Toronto meeting, if I'm not wrong. Two of the experts came to Toronto and met with specific individuals. There was a meeting, a community meeting, that was held at 8 o'clock in the morning and not particularly well attended. And the transcript of that meeting shows that the discussion never got beyond the reconsideration request. The group issued its report and recommendations. There were two comments, one from the registry constituency. The registry constituency said some things about this report are very interesting, but you have proposed to entirely gut the standard by which independent review is conducted and moved it down simply to an evaluation of whether the directors of the board were acting in good faith. We believe and stated in that totally gutted the substantive protections of that process. One other commenter didn't really address that fact, but the statement that's most compelling in the registry constituency statement is, this is clearly looks like an attempt to check a box and not to do the work that you were assigned by ATRT1. The months went by, and no one will have noticed, but in Beijing, on its consent calendar, the ICANN board passed the amendment to the ICANN bylaws that gutted the standard for independent review. Members of the board of directors who I talked to were not aware of what they were talking about. It was discussed on the consent calendar. I hope that you will look at that very closely, because this was a specific directive from ATRT1, and it evidences a huge problem. I understand that staff is concerned about frivolous use of the independent review. I think that's a legitimate thing to change. I think the manner in which this was conducted and the fact that the only substantive comment said, this change is problematic, and take a substantive look at this. Don't just go through the motions. Do the work that the ATRT assigned you is something that we really need to address, and I hope that you guys will.
Thanks, Becky. Any comment or response? All right. So, Chris, I believe I've got you next in the queue.
Thank you, Jonathan. I just want to firstly endorse everything that Mikey said earlier. There's no point in me wasting your time and repeating it, and he says it far better than I can. So I've just turned to question three about the public comment process. And I think it is an area that's not working well. I think it's an area that you've got to look at it. And the benchmark of that is surely the average number of comments to most of the requests out there. It's so low. There's definitely a problem there that he's looking at, and I haven't got a magic wand, but we've both got to, I think, look at the process and look at the community, look across the board for that. To the second part of that question about taking the comments into account, if you refer back to my written submission to the ATRT2, it refers to a public comment several years ago in which McKellie Neelam, with his crystal ball, I think, painted a scenario of what he thought might happen in a certain case, and as I say, refer to the written documentation. That never made its way to the summary. The board ignored it or didn't take it into account, and then the scenario did in fact play out. And that's a beautifully classic example of what a lot of people talk about. Thank you.
I think I had Yo up next, and then I've got, pardon? Tony, yeah.
I just wanted one clarification on my previous comment, is that the experience I was talking about was not from working groups in the past 2 years. So just to make that clear. So that doesn't mean anything related to the staff or other chairmen.
Thanks, Joab. In fact, you reminded me that was exactly my question for two reasons, but primarily because I'm aware of a number of improvements, including, for example, the way in which the public comments are synthesized. If you recall, we heard a positive comment about that yesterday, so that's useful that you make that addition. Tony, you're next.
Thanks. I'd just like to draw attention to two quick issues. We've heard Mikey give some input back on the budget process, and I'd also like to support that. But it isn't just the budget. It's linking the budget items back to the strat plan that we've really struggled with. If you look at some of the big bucket items that have very large numbers assigned to them in the budget and then try to dive down underneath that, you quickly lose your way. It's very difficult to actually understand what projects are covered with those top-level items, or the details of those projects, and also the manner in which those projects have been formed. The community input seems to be lacking. Those things aren't linked, and in terms of transparency, that's a really big oversight that's causing all types of problems. Whilst I'm here, going by the rules that we can bring up anything else as well, follow through from the ATRT1 recommendations, I'd like to express some disappointment, particularly with the who is issues. Whether you actually have a view on that or not, it was a way where things were moved forward far more than they ever have been before. The work of that review team did quite a lot and achieved quite a lot. And there seemed to be support to move forward with that. The follow-through was somewhat brushed aside. It's never been fully followed through, and there was a long delay before anything happened at all. I would like to think that with the follow-on ATRT exercise, that isn't going to happen again.
Brian, yeah. You're going to respond to that.
Thank you for that, Tony. In terms of the structure of our work, we are tasked to review ICANN's implementation of the recommendations of the three prior review teams, ATRT1, Security, Stability, and Resiliency, and who is. That's part of our work. We also have identified what we think are some new issues for which we may provide new recommendations to ICANN. So to your point, that is something we're looking at, the implementation of the recommendations of the who is review team. Again, we welcome any inputs that can help us give a full assessment.
Thanks, Brian. We've got just to do a time check for everyone. I've got three people in the queue. I've got Wolf Ulrich, Wolfgang, and Alan. We unfortunately, in spite of the richness of the discussion, we have the board joining us, or scheduled to join us at least on the hour, and so we have to do a changeover. So I apologize for that, but let's hear from Wolf Ulrich, Wolfgang, and Alan, and I have to cut it at that point.
Yes, thank you. I have more or less a question with regarding to the independent expert you are going to hire for the PDP, question of effectiveness of the PDP. Can you a little bit lift the curtain of that? What is with that? Is that because it is supposed to be an independent expert? What do we have to expect in terms of being engaged or being asked of, from this expert or whatever.
Thank you for that. We are having a discussion on what the qualifications of that independent expert would be. Certainly an understanding of ICANN, the multi-stakeholder model, and certainly to some degree the processes here are an important qualifier, among others. When selected, the independent expert will be given a scope of work that's informed by ATRT2, and you can certainly anticipate that we'll be directing the independent expert to be engaging with the relevant bodies within ICANN as they do their research and analysis before they come back to us with a final report. Does that answer your question?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Wolfgang?
Thank you very much. Wolfgang Kleinwächter. It's not a question. I just want to share an observation or a concern. You know, my impression is that ICANN's arms get longer and longer. And at the end of the process, probably the left hand doesn't know anymore what the right hand is doing. And I just was sitting the last 2 hours in the joint GAC board meeting with the new GTLD committee. And they discussed at length the IGO protection. And no single board member mentioned in the discussion with the GAC that there is a PDP in the GNSO, that we are discussing this and develop a policy for this. So my question was, is this just ignorance? Is this, you know, just that they have no knowledge about it? Or, you know, how this can happen, that in such a meeting between the GAC and the board, where they discuss the role, the specific protections for IGOs in and the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee in the new GTLD program, that the whole process, which has been discussed at length here in this committee, is totally sidelined and ignored. I think this is, you know, I was a little bit shocked nobody mentioned it, and I just wanted to share this with you because I think this is a point of concern. Thank you.
Well, I'll just respond very briefly and then move to Alan. It's somewhat ironic because the GAC did ask us to specifically cover that and something on that in our meeting with them, which is scheduled to happen in an hour or so's time. So thanks for raising that anyway. Alan.
Thank you. Just three quick responses to three of the previous people. With regard to who is Tony's comment on the who is review team, I'm one of the small group that is reviewing ICANN's implementation of it. We have gotten virtually no comments, so we're working purely on our own. Any comments that people have, certainly Tony, but anyone else, on how well they think the who is review team recommendations have been implemented or not implemented, very, very welcome. We would far prefer to be dealing with input from the community than making up only our own answers. With regard to the independent expert, you'll note the last sentence in question number one is we're looking to identify people who would like to interact with the independent expert. So we're explicitly taking a list at this point, as it were. And with regard to that last question, I'll just give a personal opinion. My understanding is the board and GAC are negotiating, or whatever, an interim position pending the GNSO PDP. Now, if the GNSO never ends up with a recommendation, that may well be permanent. But if the GNSO approves a PDP and the board ratifies it, that replaces anything the board is doing right now. That's, again, a personal opinion, not ATRT.
Thanks, Alan. That's consistent with my understanding as well. So thank you very much for coming to see us today. Brian, would you like to wrap up with any comments?
Sure. Thank you. Just a reminder of our schedule. With respect to these questions, to the extent that the Council does form views, please pass them on to us at your own time, recognizing that by the middle or end of September, we'll be getting very near the end of our data collection and analysis process, at which point we're turning towards drafting proposed final recommendations. Those do go out for public comment around the mid-October timeframe. One last opportunity to comment on what we're proposing in terms of final recommendations, but that's our work timeline, and we welcome this interaction very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you again to all of you and your colleagues and for your opening recognition of the constraints with which we can discuss these things with you. I think it's helped to have an open and good discussion. So thank you, and thank you to all the contributors. We'll call the session to a close now in preparation for our forthcoming meeting with the board.